And now, sports and other stuff. The Closers. Join the talk now. 800-229-5378. News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
Fishing Hole Friday, hour number two on the Closers. I am Jay Sparks sitting in. George Young off on assignment this Friday afternoon. He is busy, busy, busy. International man of mystery and intrigue out and about. I don't know. Special ops, black face paint, bandana. I don't know. We'll see. We'll get all the details on Monday when he comes back. With me now on a Friday, another international man of mystery, Larry Borowski. How you doing, Larry?
I'm good. I'm good. You know, I have the Austin Powers outfit on for the man of mystery role. You know, I've got the square glasses and the poofy shirt and all that stuff.
I am impressed. We do no pants summer, so I'm just hanging out with no pants on. It's very freeing to do the radio show with no pants on. It's one of the benefits of not having the webcam or the TV cameras in here. So
right, well, yes. You know, it's very convenient. You know,
yes,
it is summer. Why go with the pants?
Right,
pants optional.
So constricting. Well, you know, constricting into the trade deadline. You know, there was all the rumors, all the articles and words, and all of the baseball writers, Post Dispatch, you know, around the league, MLB.com, Stringer writers. Everybody got together and wrote all the words about the trade deadline, and then for a team like the Cardinals, they just kind of hung out and watched it come and watched it go. Larry, as you were watching the waiver wire and the trade deadline, the transactions page, were you shocked? Were you not surprised? Kind of, you know, took it as it came. What were your feelings on Monday afternoon?
Yeah, I think the latter. I took it as it came. You know, I think I was hopeful that they would find a match, but I wasn't necessarily expecting that they would. And you know, as it turns out, there really weren't any deals. There weren't any players that moved who could have helped the Cardinals. You know, there weren't any big, you know, hitters who got traded elsewhere where you ask yourself, well, you know, why didn't the Cardinals get that guy, right? And so that sort of tells you that the prices that were being asked by teams that, you know, maybe had a Jay Bruce or a Josh Donaldson or another hitter, you know, they weren't offering prices that anybody was interested in paying. So you can't necessarily fault the Cardinals there. You know, with Lance Lynn, who was probably the biggest chip that they were putting out there on the market, you know, that whole, starting pitching market was kind of pegged to Sonny Gray and Yu Darvish, and both of those deals came together in the last hour of the trading period, literally. And so, you know, there wasn't a chance. Any team that was chasing Darvish or Gray and came up short, you know, they didn't really have time then to turn to the Cardinals and say, all right, you know, what do you want for Lance Lynn? It was almost too late. And so, you know, it was just, it was frankly, I think a situation where, you know, there was no point in the Cardinals making a move just for the sake of making a move. And it just did not, the cards didn't fall the way that the Cardinals needed them to in order for them to make a good deal.
You mentioned a lot of names there and a lot of guys that stayed put, a lot of front offices that didn't have a lot of activity. It wasn't just a buzzing hive of activity. There were a couple big names. Everybody kind of dialed in. Most of them moved, the very, very biggest names, and then the rest kind of didn't. We don't have to go too far down this rabbit hole because I want to stick to the Cardinals, but just in because we went through the trade deadline, are the compensatory picks too much of an incentive, or are they, you know, have they the idea of a small market or a completely out of it marketed team, you know, selling at the deadline to recoup some prospects. Have GMs become too close to the chest and there's just no market there anymore, or was it just kind of a weird year?
I think it's a combination of both. You know, I think teams do value those compensation picks for a free agent. And so, you know, in the case of Lance Lynn, for example, you know, if you hold on to him and let him sign with another team in the offseason, as long as the Cardinals offer him a qualifying contract, they'll get back the equivalent of this year. It's a little bit less than the compensation has been in previous years, but it'll still be a, you know, pretty good compensation, the equivalent of, say, a second round pick, right?
Mm-hmm.
That means that, you know, you need to get another team to give that up, a player who would be equivalent to that value in exchange for 2 months of Lance Lynn. Not everybody's willing to do that. Not every team's in a position to do that. Not every team has the need, right? You know, they don't necessarily have the need for someone like Lance Lynn. And let's face it, you know, the pitchers who did move, you know, the starting pitchers were Quintana, Sonny Gray, and Yu Darvish. Those are all number one pitchers on their respective teams, right? You know, they're ace pitchers. They're not a number two or number three like Lance Lynn is within his rotation. And so, you know, that tells you something too. But then this year was a little different because the competition for playoff spots isn't as intense as it often is. You know, you have, you know, a number of teams in both leagues who are running away with their divisions, and then, you know, there's kind of lackluster competition for those wild card spots, you know, so you don't necessarily have, you know, eight or nine teams that are all, you know, vying, that are in close competition for playoff spots. You know, you have, two or three of the spots in each league are already completely locked up. You know, there's just, you know, those teams aren't looking for, you know, a minor edge that's going to get them over the hump. And then, you know, I mean, even in the National League, you look at the teams that are competing, many of them are right around 500. They're not even sure if they're buyers or sellers.
Yeah, it seemed to me that every time the counter to every floated trade or floated rumor was just, well, compensatory picks. And it just it seemed kind of odd. Well, barring a waiver wire deal, which still can happen for kind of the rest of this month as that all gets put together and teams kind of look over one more time with a fine tooth comb, barring anything like that, this is your 2017 Cardinals team. September 1st, obviously you'll see some call-ups, but it'll probably be a lot of familiar names as the Cardinals have done a lot of swapping and flipping there. And so, you know, with this 2017 Cardinals, what is this last 40% of the season? What are they doing?
Yeah, it's a good question. you know, the overall quest here is to determine out of the large number of candidates that they have, who do they want to build around going forward? And I'm really not even sure, frankly, that they're going to be able to answer that over the next 60 games. But all right, well, you know, Dexter Fowler is part of the outfield going forward because of his contract. But, you know, who fills the other two spots? Is it Tommy Pham and Stephen Piscotty? Is it Randall Grichuk and Magnus Sierra? You know, is Harrison Bader part of that mix? You know, who else, might be in there, or is it going to be someone from off the roster? And part of the reason that I don't think that they can't necessarily just base it on performance alone, because, you know, really they got to gauge what's the interest of other teams? What'll they get back? Right.
Right.
It may be that they have to move players who they really like, and because, you know, they're not going to get really, you know, impact return. If Randall Grichuk is viewed, you know, by the rest of the league the same as the Cardinals view him, which is, you know, not really worthy of a starting job, not even necessarily always worthy of a 25-man roster spot, you know, no one's going to give you anything for a player like that, because every organization has guys like that who are sort of, you know, on the cusp. And so it might be that other teams are going to look and say, yeah, well, we'll take Tommy Pham off your hands. You know, we like what he did. You know, we like the fact that he's managed to stay healthy for a full season. And now that we see what he's capable of, yeah, we'll take him. And the Cardinals, you know, might have to part with him. Or they might say, yeah, we'll take Stephen Piscotty because, you know, he's on a really team-friendly contract for the next 5 years. And even though he's had kind of a down year, we'll try to pick him up on the cheap. And, you know, part of it's going to depend on, you know, what's the market for the various players that the Cardinals, you know, have depth at and have superfluous talent at. And so they may not even be in a position to dictate who they keep. They may have to let the market determine, you know, wherever they can get a return and get a useful part back, that might have to be the guy that they let go of.
Larry, at some point, Cardinals fans, as they look at the standings and they look at the roster, and I mean, the contracts are now all open. If you do a little bit of digging, Baseball Reference or wherever, you can see all of the contracts. You can see the finances kind of in a very basic form in black and white. As fans have all this information, at some point, do the Cardinals become the guy in the, you know, in the fantasy football league who just won't make a trade, just refuses to make a trade and just sticks out his team no matter what through and through because he thinks he has a plan and that's it? Or, you know, how do the fans keep handling this if this is Mozeliak's way is to just kind of circle the wagons and keep it in-house as much as he seems to prefer to do that?
Yeah, I hope they won't become that kind of an organization, and I don't think that they will. I think they realize perhaps that they've held on to some of their players too long, you know, and, you know, whether that is, I think that there's an interplay there. It's partly the fact that the front office maybe has, you know, been unwilling to take a risk. And there may also be, you know, the front office has one idea about certain players and then the dugout has maybe a different, you know, opinion. But, you know, it doesn't help the organization for, you know, for whatever the dynamic is. You know, when you have a guy like Aledmys Díaz who's on the All-Star team 1 year, who's a young, cost-controlled all-star shortstop, and then, you know, 6 months later, he's a triple-A shortstop who no one's going to give you anything for, right? You know, whereas, you know, spring training this year, if you'd have put that guy on the market, you'd have gotten really attractive offers for him, and now he's got almost no value. So, you know, they're turning valuable assets into less valuable assets. You know, Matt Adams went through a similar process. Randall Grichuk's gone through that process where, you know, they're players that other teams are interested in, and then all of a sudden it becomes clear that the, you know, they have zero value to the Cardinals, so why would anyone give up something valuable in return? There's gonna be some uncomfortable decisions that have to be made. You know, the Cardinals are gonna have to either, you know, give up on players who they really like, or, you know, they're going to have to give away, you know, players that still have value, such as Randall Grichuk or Aledmys Díaz, and get rid of them for nothing, which they already did with Matt Adams, you know. They just were backed into a corner, and they had to clear out roster space. So I don't think the front office is blind to that problem, and I don't think that they are going to circle the wagons. They're going to have to simplify this roster, and they're going to have to clear out space on the roster. But it's going to be difficult to do it in a fashion that makes the roster better. I think that's an uphill battle, unfortunately. And, you know, it's going to take some creativity and maybe some risk taking, that is going to confuse or, anger some of the fan base, you know, when they see players that are let go who maybe they would have preferred to keep around.
Well, Larry, it was, like I said, it wasn't the most eventful, and day to day, the team kind of kept up their 6-4, 5-5 methodology that they've been in all season. A trip to Cincinnati to try and get back to 500. You know, does this team have one last, even if it's half-hearted or you know, too late in the season, do they have one more run in them to try and close the gap, make the Central more competitive, or is this just kind of sail this one on out as we you know, wind down 2017?
Well, I mean, the shot that they have to take and have to hope will come to pass is that, you know, their starting pitching, has been their sort of anchor. And if the starting pitching continues to be consistent and give them a chance to win almost every night, at some point hitters might get hot, right? Or they run into a string of, you know, of bad pitching where they can, you know, seen it happen before, right? We've seen them reel off 6 or 7 wins in a row. We've seen them reel off, you know, 9 wins out of 11 here and there. And so, you know, they're 2 under .500. If they were to, you know, go on an 8-2 run right now, then, you know, they'd be a few games over .500. And in this division, you know, that makes it interesting. I think that's what they have the fingers crossed for. The schedule is a little more forgiving here in the next few weeks. You know, they have a lot of games with the Reds. They've got San Diego coming up for a number of games. That's a, you know, a last place team, and they've got 1 or 2 other, you know, sort of weaker opponents in there over the next, say, 3 to 4 weeks. So, you know, this has been a team that's never been able to get out of their own way, but maybe they'll be able to muster it and at least keep it interesting through September. But, you know, I don't think anyone who's watched this team the last 2 years would actually place a large bet on that happening. It could happen, though.
Well, they're going to keep playing the games. The tickets are still available. So continue to support them and get out there. But, you know, make your voices heard. Places like here and you know, online at the blogs. Make sure you get out there. And if you're a Cardinals fan, let people know how you feel about what's going on, because that's you know, really what it comes down to as a fan these days. And Larry Borowski joining us. Larry, thank you so much for taking time out of your Friday as you do. We enjoy all the talk and going down the rabbit holes with you, because it's interesting stuff, and this team was kind of in an interesting situation. So let's hope they can get themselves back in a more interesting standing situation before the end of the season.
Yeah, you know, it's still only August. You know, I don't want to give up on the baseball season yet, so I hope they will sustain our interest for at least a few more weeks and give us something to pay attention to.
Yep, very much so. Larry Borowski joining us here on The Closers, a Fish and Hole Friday. We will continue on with hour number 2 in just a moment, and we will be right back.
The Closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
Welcome back in hour number 2. Larry Borowski with all of the Cardinals trade deadline talk. We'll get back into wins, losses, at-bats, roster, players, that kind of stuff next week. Just so worked up about that trade deadline, and then nothing from the Cardinals whatsoever. You just don't, I don't know. Seems awkward to me. So I just really wish that, I think that team had potential. I think that this year's 2017 team had the ability to do some things. Just seemed like a weird time to stand pat. Looking around the headlines in the NBA, still no Kyrie, still no Carmelo. But Austin Rivers out with the Clippers gets taken. He basically gets his GM job taken away. So he is just the head coach. No more front office responsibilities for Doc Rivers. So I think you might see some personnel changes, or don't like the direction that the personnel changes are going, but still want him on the sidelines. I think it's interesting after free agency. If you're Steve Ballmer, you're going to make that choice. You're going to make that decision. It certainly seems like you would want to do that prior to free agency, so that you would have some control over that, not leave it in the hands of someone that was at the point of having that taken away from him. Sporting Kansas City, some quick runaround for the soccer talk real quick. Sporting Kansas City, even with the MLS All-Star game that happened earlier this week, Sporting KC has a Sunday game, Sunday, August 6th at 7 p.m. in Kansas City, hosting the expansion team, the Atlanta United. There was a really great minor league team in the lower league. The Atlanta Silverbacks was one of the cooler minor league soccer teams, and they kind of got that organization kind of gained promotion. The Atlanta team, the Atlanta United, against Sporting Kansas City Sunday, and then next Wednesday night, the U.S. Open Cup semifinal, Sporting Kansas City versus San Jose. You know, that is the semifinals that starts out with so many teams and down to the final four. On the other side, the New York Red Bulls and FC Cincinnati. FC Cincinnati is a minor league team who is still in this Open Cup. It is open to all professional soccer teams in the United States. So FC Cincinnati making the final four after beating the Chicago Fire in PKs during the last round. It was awesome. Awesome sight. Like 38,000 people for a minor league game soccer match in Cincinnati. It was pretty awesome. So that's on the other side, but the dream, the Cinderella dream, still alive, could end up with a minor league team in the Open Cup final. That'd be pretty awesome. By the way, though, I wanted to pass along this note from Mizzou Athletics. Expected inclement weather tomorrow afternoon. They were having 2017 Meet the Tigers Fan Day. They're moving it indoors to Dan Devine Indoor Pavilion. So that's the building across the street. So you walk over Providence on the footbridge, and it's the big indoor football field that sits kind of next to the Matzy and just on the hill there next to the Taylor Stadium. That is where the fan day is going to be. And at the end of fan day, they were going to show a movie on the big Diamond Vision at Faro, and that has just been postponed. So there is not a movie. So if you have the family and you're all geared up to go, event is still on. Just know there is no movie at the end of it. It's just the fan day, the posters and the autographs and everything else from the players and the position coaches and whoever's available that day. But that is going to be indoor in the Devine Pavilion, not on the football field. If you're there and you're parking, I don't know where they're going to have everyone parking, please use the footbridge. Do not try to cross Providence. I know there is a light. I know there is, you know, you get the green to, I see runners cross Providence and Stadium, that intersection, all the time. But if you've got your family there, wherever they have you park, if you're on the other side of Providence, please use the footbridge. Go up and over. Don't try to cross that busy street. So yes, fan day moved inside due to inclement weather on the way. And that is a news and note. No movie follow-up there. It was going to be the Lego Batman movie. I've not seen Lego Batman. My kids have seen the Lego Batman movie. They tell me it's awesome. So there's going to be a rain check on that. Hopefully they'll get around to that. Last night, the U.S. women's team, get back to the soccer real quick, the women's team faced Japan in the Tournament of Nations. The pool play has already concluded to the point where they knew who the winner was. Australia was the winner of the Tournament of Nations, beating the U.S. in that play. But the U.S. women's team versus Japan, a rematch of the most recent World Cup final, women's World Cup final, USA and Japan. And the USA, Japan played a really high-pressure, kind of in-your-face way and gave a lot of trouble to the back line and the midfielders of the U.S. But when the U.S. got any kind of space, when they were able to attack at all and give themselves a little bit of a heavy ball down the sideline in space, they looked real good. 3-0, the victory for the U.S. ladies last night a very, very good win over a high quality, high caliber team in the Japanese international team. If you've watched at all any of the highlight shows or seen the highlights roll through on Twitter or social media of choice, you would definitely saw Megan Rapinoe's first goal or the first goal of the match, Megan Rapinoe's goal. Really beautiful fake out, hesitation, stutter step, put a defender down as the defender pops back up, goes the other way, and splits the defender and the goalie to go far post. Really beautiful goal. World class. Also, Neymar, 220 million pounds. Ugh. Paris Saint-Germain. PSG, they are just looking for that Champions League trophy. And who knows? Maybe this is what they need. The Brazilian striker, the young Brazilian playmaker and striker out there trying to get into PSG, where put on a different uniform and not be in the shadow of so many other great international world-class athletes, going to go try his hand doing it himself. Well, Kyrie Irving moment there on the soccer pitch. But it's a fishing hole Friday. I am Jay Sparks. George Young out on assignment. 442-8255, 800-229-5378. Going to step aside here for a quick break in hour number two. Again, big thanks to Larry Borowski for joining us there in the first part of the hour to talk St. Louis Cardinals and their inactivity at the trade deadline and what that looks like around the league and for the Cardinals and moving forward end of this year and into next year. Lots of big picture talk. We'll get back to the minutia next week with Larry. So going to step aside, be right back.
The Closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
Fishing Hole Friday. The new wave thing just wore off. Back to a little wah-wah funk there. A little something to get you moving on a Friday afternoon. Beautiful weather. Rain. Rain coming, but the temperatures. Oh, the temperatures are going to be so, so nice. It's going to be a really nice weekend to enjoy your time out there. And you know, as you look around, I mentioned in the first hour, and actually I got my helpful closers listeners. Sometimes I don't know where I'd be without you out there. I really don't, because I was remiss in talking about yesterday. I was remiss in talking about the fact that it was National Watermelon Day. And I mean, just how something so important like that could skip, you know, could just fall out of my brain and not be there for me to talk to you guys about. I just wanted to apologize. And then I mentioned that today, National Owl Day. So it was National Owl Day today. I have really cool owls where I live. And they like to, oftentimes I find when I get home after my second job, my other job, when I get home after that at 3-4 o'clock in the morning, I find like I'm being sized up. Can I take this guy? The barred owls are lined up on the trees waiting for me and they're sizing me up. See if I'm a late night snack or not worth it. So, interesting owl day, but my caller called in apparently Simon and Renee today. Apparently it was also National Chocolate Chip Cookie Day. Gosh, owls and chocolate chip cookies. I mean, if that's not a match made in heaven, I don't know. I don't even want to know. I don't even want to know what is. Don't want to know what is a match made in heaven. So, Kansas City Chiefs camp opened end of last week. They are in their first full week now, and they are cruising along and getting the 11-on-11, getting pads on. Alex Smith is supposed to be looking much better, throwing the ball down the field, But when you're not being pressured, you're not taking those hits, it seems like it's a little bit easier, to throw that ball down the field. Now, the golden child, the Chiefs, as you know, because we've told you, as you know, loyal Closers fans, the Chiefs drafted a quarterback in the first round for the first time since 1983. Todd Blackledge from Penn State, by the way. Why do you take the Penn State quarterback? So anyway, 34 years later, the Chiefs decide to take another first-round draft pick quarterback, and they end up with Patrick Mahomes. Now, this guy, you want to talk about the arm. It is, and he is that guy. He is the arm. He goes deep. I mean, he can air it out. This is his MO. He keeps plays alive with his feet. He might not be a runner. Might not be your Randall Cunningham, your Mike Vick, that kind of guy, but he keeps plays alive with his feet, extends the play, gets out of the pocket, and looks good doing it. Deep catch down the numbers to Tevin Jones today. Looking every part the first round draft pick. Now, obviously, there's issues. Doesn't have the playbook. Doesn't have the timing. The speed is still new to him. But looking every bit the first round golden child draft pick, he threaded the needle on a bootleg to his right, drifted right in the pocket, bought some time, delivered a laser to the tight end Charles. These are the kinds of things that they're talking about for Patrick Mahomes. 442-825-5800-229-5378. And I know you're out there. I know you're listening because I can feel the derision seeping through. You don't even have to pick up the phone and call 442-8255. You don't even have to do that. I can feel it because you guys think, boy, that Jay, Fishing Hole Friday, No Pants Summer, Blake Topmeyer, Larry Borowski, he just forgot. He plumb forgot about giving away Chiefs tickets. But nay. Nay, I say, I did not forget. I remembered. They're sitting right here. I've been looking at them every break. During every segment, I look over and I say, no, not yet. They're ready. They're ready to go. They're ready for a Closers listener to come pick them up and take them back to their home at Arrowhead so you guys can go watch some Kansas City Chiefs football. I will take the second caller when I start the music here, going out of break. I will take the second caller for Chiefs tickets Friday, August 11th, 2017, next Friday, a week from today, for San Francisco 49ers coming to Arrowhead for preseason game number one. I will take the second caller, 442-8255, 800-229-5378, for tickets to go see the Kansas City Chiefs. See, I didn't forget. No derision necessary. Well, there's probably derision necessary for other things, but not for this. Caller number two. We'll be back in just a moment.
On News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
Wrapping up a Fishing Hole Friday here on the Closers. News Talk 1400 KFRU, 1240 KLIK down in Jefferson City. I am Jay Sparks, and it has been a busy day. Lots of stuff to talk about. Royals, Mariners at the K. Cardinals, Great American Ballpark, Cincinnati. Lots of baseball. A little bit of soccer this weekend. Sporting Kansas City taking on Atlanta United. So that's a good one. And should be an interesting game. Big shout out to Alan Bax. He was our second caller. He was our winner for two Chiefs tickets. That's right. I didn't forget. Maybe I forgot. I don't know. Maybe I forgot for an hour. Who knows? No one will ever know. Doesn't matter. But we're going to get you out of here. Big thanks to Blake Topmeyer, Columbia Daily Tribune. Also, Larry Borowski, St. Louis Cardinals. George Young will be back on Monday to join me. Probably see Tramell Rags next week sometime. We have a lot of stuff going on. Sarah Reisman, Associate Athletic Director, Mizzou, is going to be on to talk about Title IX. It's the anniversary year for Title IX. So we're going to talk about that with her on Monday. Have a good weekend, everybody. Until then, be safe, have fun, and we'll talk to you next week.